In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Back to your program, Treasures, and we are commenting on the Gospel of St. John, chapter 11. We finished the story of Lazarus, and the Lord gave him new life, and the people saw him moving out of the tomb for the first time. And you know, that was like the third miracle, giving life to a dead man. And in this special one, hundreds of people could see Lazarus living again because he was such a famous man, and many people of Jerusalem knew him because he was beloved by many, even Pharisees. So this miracle, you know, was very much known by everyone and added to the reputation of the Lord. Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. So many believers started to believe since that day because of this great miracle. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the thing Jesus did. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, so there was like an important meeting. The council met together because of this important event happened. That's very serious for them. All people will follow Christ now after seeing Lazarus, who experienced death for 4 days. No one can, you know, deny that he died and he was buried for 4 days. What shall we do? For this man works many signs. If we let him alone like this, everyone who believes in him and the Romans will come and take away both our place and nation. Look to this. The rulers of the Jewish people, the Pharisees and the chief priests, they, you know, they were never busy with their salvation, never busy with, you know, understanding the truth of Jesus himself as the Messiah, as the Lord coming to save man. You know, they only focused on their thrones, on their authorities. They were, you know, angry because people will follow Christ now. And, you know, just to think in a nice way, they thought of the Romans will come and take away both our place and nation. As if Christ, you know, is threatening the whole nation just because of the Romans. They forgot that Christ, the Messiah, will give power to the nation if they believed in him. But they, you know, they always thinking in this earthly way. They want the nation on earth. They need the kingdom of earth. They never believed in the kingdom of heaven. They didn't look up to Jesus as the Messiah, the King of heaven. They wanted another Messiah, the King of earth. So they were busy having a leader against the Romans. That's their dream. They had no dream in heaven. They had no dream to fulfill the promises of God. They had their own dream to, you know, be the masters of the world. And one of them, Caiaphas, being high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you consider that is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and not that the whole nation should perish." This Caiaphas, who supposed to be the priest in charge or the high priest at that time, you know, he was very angry, and you know, he accused everyone that they know nothing, and he said it this way: "It's better for a man to die to save the whole nation, not to let the nation perish." So, as if he was like prophesying, you know, giving a prophecy saying that it's important for one man to die to save others. He did not mean the salvation idea. He meant it in his bad way, that it's important to get rid of Jesus in order to save the nation. But, you know, in another interpretation, he was giving a real prophecy saying that, yes, one man may die to save the whole nation. Now this he did not say on his own authority. That's the words of St. John. Now, he's saying he did not say this sentence by his authority, because he was a bad man at that time. But being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation. So although he was bad, and his intention was very bad, but yet, you know, the sentence given by him being the high priest, as if because of being the priest, he spoke it in the right way. He gave it the right, you know, the sentence. And not that nation only, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. So it's not just to save the nation of the Jews. Actually, the Lord Christ coming to die to save everyone, and in order to gather all people in one man, at the body of the Lord Christ, in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. So, as if St. John is adding to the sentence given by Caiaphas, that it's not just to save the Jew people, it's the salvation of the whole world. And Christ was busy to gather all the children of the Lord into his body. So, you know, sometimes we cannot understand the plan of God because we have our own plans. And because our intention is far away from his intention. But working with God, you know, obeying the will of God, following the commandment of God, asking God to guide us, we will work the work of God in the best way. But thinking in our way and, you know, imagining things and applying the word of God with our intentions, that will take us away from the way of God. Then from that day on, they plotted to put him to death. So there was like a sentence of death given by the Sanhedrin, the rulers of the Jew people, but you know, they were busy how to apply this sentence, how to, you know, kill him, but with no side effects. So they plotted to put him to death. Therefore, Jesus no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there into the country near the wilderness. So Christ knew the time of his crucifixion, and his plan is to be crucified. So now everything is ready for his killing, but you know, he appointed the time, so he did not give them any chance to catch him before this time in order to make the plan fulfilled in he according to his ideas. Therefore, Jesus no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there into the country near the wilderness to a city called Ephraim, and there remained with his disciples. He was always busy with his disciples because he knew that few days left for him on earth, and he was busy, you know, giving them everything. They were like the best fruit out of his service, because the disciples will manage to preach the word of God everywhere, and they will be the pillars of the church. So he gave them the best of his time and discipleship. And the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went from the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. You know, they had a custom, like all the country people used to go to Jerusalem before the feast of the Passover in order to have these rituals of purification. Then they sought Jesus and spoke among themselves as they stood in the temple. What do you think? That he will not come to the feast? Everybody now know quite well that there is a real conflict between Jesus, the Messiah, and the rulers and the priests of the temple. So they were, you know, questioning, would he come? Would he stand in the temple as he used to do in the last few years? And he is ready to face them. They were planning to kill him. So even the lay people knew that there is kind of a conspiracy for catching the Lord. Then they saw Jesus and spoke among themselves as they stood in the temple. What do you think? That he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a command that if anyone knew where he was, he should report it, that they might seize him. So that was very well known now, and it was a command given by the chief priests. Chapter 12. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. So when he came closer to Jerusalem, he used to stay in Bethany in the house of the family of Lazarus. But now his coming is celebrated by this family because Lazarus now is alive. So they were very much happy to receive him in their house after this new life. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. You know, Mary expressed her thanks to God because she was very happy accepting Christ in their house again and seeing her brother alive sitting beside the Lord. She was very much happy. So she brought a very precious oil and she poured this oil on his feet, and she wiped his feet with her hair. You know, some people may relate this story to the one mentioned in the Gospel of Saint Luke, but let me tell you that there were like many stories, may be similar in some details, but this is related to Mary, the sister of Lazarus. It was not in this story, it was not the same of the bad woman who showed her repentance. So she was weeping on his feet and just, you know, washing his feet with her tears and with her hair, and then putting the oil on his feet because she felt bad, like the tears touched his feet. So these were different feelings. Here, the feelings of thanksgiving, the feeling of praising God, the feeling of love, because Mary was telling the Lord with no word how much I love you, because you saved this family, you give life to my brother again. So that's the expression of love. In the other story, what the expression of repentance. Maybe similar in some expressions, but not the same story. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Let me tell you that the house of God, the church, is always happy with the feelings of love. Whatever the expressions of love, that's the fragrance of heaven. You can, you know, smell this fragrance while seeing people serving God from their hearts, happy to help others, and, you know, showing humble attitudes and praying from the heart. That's the fragrance of heaven you may smell in the church. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" You all know that this Judas of Iscariot, you know, was not busy with the poor, but he was busy with the money. So he estimated the expenses of this, you know, precious oil. And he made it like, you know, 300 denarii. And because he wanted this money for himself, he said it this way. Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. You know, it's, you know, very important to understand the role of the Lord Jesus Christ in helping Judas Iscariot to repent. Although the Lord knew very well that this man is a thief and he's taking the money of the poor, but you know, he never faced him in a rough way. He showed him love. He expressed the teaching of being faithful and honest. He showed him many examples of repentance. All these were like messages to help him to regain his early love, to repent again, to stop taking the money of the poor. But you know, he never accepted these methods. He loved the money much more than he loved the Lord. That's why he kept saying these bad things. And the Lord never mentioned that, stop saying so, you thief man. So Judas was caring for the Lord himself, or for the woman expressing her love, or for Lazarus who lived again, or for the celebration, or for the people sitting beside. He focused only on money. He couldn't see anything but money. That's why Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always. It was a very special message to Judas. You may have the poor, but you will not have me. You think of the poor? I don't think so. You think of money, so you are losing me. You are letting go on me. You choose to be money man, but you fail to choose to be God's man. So it was, you know, maybe the last message given to Judas Iscariot, that stop thinking of money. Don't blame this nice woman because she loved me. She had a faithful heart. You don't have like this. So she has kept this for the day of my burial, because few days left before his burial day, he, you know, wanted to glorify this woman, to praise her for what she had done. So he considered what she had done now as part of serving him in the very glorified minute of his burial, as if she shared Mariam and his mother and all those who were under the cross, who started to put him in the tomb. So she shared in this by her love. For the poor you have with you always. So if you want to express love to the Lord and you cannot see the Lord himself, you can see him in the poor. Go and serve the poor. Go and show your love to the poor. By doing this, you are offering love to God himself. But me, that's for Judas. You do not have always. You have me now, but Judas, you will not have me for long, because you don't want me anymore. Glory to God. Amen.